Yeah, you hear a lot of people say, I wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't, find out about this. Kimberly was talking about that today, that she said, I got to take a break from it every now and then because it'd drive you crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You need to take a break and you need to play with the chickens or watch Jeffrey play with the chickens. Go up to the river and look at the eagles and sure. all that kind of uh-huh. stuff, you know. And come and have dinner with your friends and all that. But you still, after you know, you tend to always want to know a little bit more.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
I'm all self-conscious now because you said I was fat. Now I got to make sure I'm sucking my blood in.
Matt Hutchinson joins us again. He's getting ready to ship out and go to Missouri and
Minnesota.
Huh?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Michigan.
Michigan.
I don't know. One of those M states. Can't get it right. Can't get it straight.
Well, it's kind of a sad thing and a happy thing at the same time. Like I told you the other day,
we'll
miss you, but.
We had a 5-year plan. I was going to go back to school, finish my degree, and then I was going to start looking for work and, back home. And we were going to sell the property here and downsize to a smaller property down in Lugoff. And we found a house that we liked, piece of property we liked. We were on our way to San Jose to have supper, and we were going to make an offer from the table there. And I got a phone call. We were halfway there. I got a phone call from my mom, and found out my dad is terminally ill, and is given a little short time, a little time left. So
home.
It was really easy. We just looked at each other, so we should just go now. Let's just go. We're gonna go move in with mom and dad and help dad and help
sometimes
my mom. Sometimes
life takes a priority over plans.
Yeah. And with a new baby and all, go be near cousins and uncles and aunts and grandma and grandpa and while he's still here. And
yeah, and there's nothing here to tie you down. It's not like the problems that are here aren't out there either. I mean, things might be a little bit different here and there and all, but it's the same crap. So no matter where you go, it might be a little bit this way and a little bit that way. But in the end, they're trying, like Josephine always says, they try to kill us all,
I think, I got off Facebook back in October, off all social media, and stopped going to council meetings. I think I've been to one since last summer, maybe.
And that was the one when they were messing with me about, that was the point of order one, I think, maybe. Yeah. The last one.
The litter ordinance, I think.
Might have been.
One after your year.
You know, when we've been so many times over the last 4 or 5 years that they all blend together because there's always some kind of bullshit to talk about with them people.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of time to do some thinking, reflecting upon my activism and what we started here. A lot of people now feel emboldened or feel like they can go and speak their minds, and that's a good thing. I've also thought about the people we're fighting against. Even though we weren't really fighting, we just have a disagreement on philosophies, and you know, I really think all those people in the county council, I truly believe they feel like they're doing what they feel is right.
And
I don't think it's coming from a place of evil or trickery or trying to get over, you know.
To a minuscule extent, I think that they like to do their little deals and that kind of thing.
I think that's how they feel, like they're playing the game.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we're supposed to, we got to get things done. And, you know, that's...
They have a philosophy of government that fixes everything. Versus what we talk about is that you can't use...
Government is the problem.
You can't use force. And the initiation of force... other than defense,
example. We were watching the last council meeting, I think, and Katie was bringing up, might have been the one before this, opioid coalition, right? Yeah. And I was laughing, but also crying a little bit. Say it like, these people think government is the answer to a problem that government created in the first place.
Yeah.
And that goes to the opening of your show where you say, government creates the solutions to problems that the government created so it can keep itself in business.
Yeah.
You know, but none of them people up there had anything to do with the opioid, the pharmaceutical companies bringing drugs into through the VA system and veterans getting people hooked on. But government certainly isn't the answer to that problem. It's a people problem. It's
come back to that. We often point to the moral corruption of society.
Like the litter, you know, the litter metaphor. Litter really is a metaphor for where we are as a people.
Yeah.
I think you brought up that point, and somebody else brought up that
Tom Webb brought up that point.
That it's really just a symptom of where we are as a society, and it's sad.
A lot of people make the commentary of... how they went over to this country or that country and how clean it is.
Yeah.
And Tucker Carlson said it about Moscow.
Russia, yeah.
You know, the subways are just pristine and all this kind of stuff like this, you know. And it does come down to culture. I don't think that's beating the people into submission.
No. Like South Korea, I was there, South Korea is spotless on the main roads. If you get off the main roads where the real people live, it's filthy.
Yeah, a little bit
different. I wouldn't imagine Russia's the same way. Where the cameras are going to be, that's the cleanest.
To some extent, that's the way Colombia is. That's the way all these cities are.
Yeah, I mean, the Capitol grounds are immaculate.
Or just like right before the Carolina Cup. You know, they went out and
bridge gets fixed, grass gets mowed, trash is picked up.
Yeah, and all the bridges getting swept off and everything, and between the interstate and horse racing, everything's cleaned up.
Yeah.
But, you know, they passed the litter ordinance and
it's not, you know, whatever, man. It's not going to do anything to change anything.
No.
And government isn't going to get people motivated to take pride in their societies, and that comes from home, from the family, from upbringing, from, you know, public service. And what I was thinking is, you know, if any of these council members really wanted to do anything about the opioid epidemic, they'd go volunteer at their local fire departments and start running some medical calls. You know, because I can't even count how many people I've brought back from death from an overdose. Yeah,
we had a phone call recently that somebody that we knew, I really don't know her, but Josephine does, OD'd and had all kinds of stuff up in her system, you know, and they Narcan'd her and brought her back and all, and you see this constantly throughout society now,
it's just people aren't happy. It's a hole in their heart.
It's a symptom
that they're trying to fill with a substance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's these people It's not that. It's that they were prescribed a medication, overprescribed in some cases, and then they get hooked, and then they pull the medicine from them, and then they don't have no choice but to go to heroin.
Saying how the government did it with the FDA and the patent on the drug that's just like it, but it's not addictive. And they held that patent, not the government, but the makers of the opioids.
Yeah.
And they went with the addictive anyway, and the FDA didn't call them out on it or anything.
Well,
the government is in bed with the corporation.
Corporations are the government.
The
corporations are the government.
Get that mosquito out of here. Y'all in South Carolina, y'all know that this is the time of the year when the mosquitoes just start to come out like crazy.
But, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we've talked about many times how the Rockefellers and the Fords and all them were pushing pushing the pharmaceuticals, chemical pharmaceuticals on everybody. And now we got the Bambinos in there.
You want a guest star?
Come here.
Oh.
The beautiful Emmeline.
Hey, girlfriend. How are you?
Hey, baby. Hi, baby.
But you know, we keep talking about like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the United Nations and the WHO.
Yeah.
And I call it the owners of the plantation of Slavelandia.
Yeah.
The Black Rocks, the Vanguards, the State Streets, and this combination of the state and corporate as corporate raiders, if you will. They've made us into commodities of the corporation.
We always have been, from the royal families, the Vatican, you know, and the royal families, and we've always been subjects, right? We've always been vassals, and it didn't change when they came over to the New World. It was just more land for them to control. And, you know, when you fight back against them, when you push back against them, you get slapped down hard.
Yeah.
You know, even the people, if it's people who think they're doing the right thing, they truly believe they're doing the right thing and their heart is in the right place and they really believe they're doing, when you say, man, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as an American, like, this is not what liberty is, they'll do everything in their power to try to take you out.
Yeah.
Because it disrupts their wavelength that they're working on. They can't handle it.
Their reliance on the system, they're obedient, and I think everybody is somewhat guilty of it because of, and we go back again to public education. That I always come back to that. Public education has dumbed us down to the point and made us obedient little slaves.
Yeah.
And when they brought in the Prussian system, and then they brought in the vocational education system and all that kind of stuff that feels good, smells good, and tastes good, but like Cheech and Chong, I'm glad I didn't step in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so society has, and litter is a perfect example of the symptom that's caused by public education, and this, it's me as a little thing and we as a big thing, and we knows better than me.
Yeah.
And so people feel crushed and depressed, and
or they just check out and don't, they just put blinders on and they go live their life and try to be as happy as they can. They want the feeling of happiness, the feeling of success, the American dream, whatever you want to call it.
The big house, the two cars, the boat, the four-wheeler.
Or whatever it means, you know, whatever it means to that individual.
Whatever it might be.
So the only thing really, I've kind of come to the conclusion, the best way is individual protest. You know, just be your own, live your life that is a form of protest against the system, you know, when it comes
to... As much outside the system as you can.
Right. Be as much outside as you can. That's right. And and that's, every individual has a different threshold, you know?
We've talked about, you know, where's your red line?
Right.
Where is it you've had enough is enough? And when are you going to step up and do something?
Yeah.
And those kind of things, getting out of the system as much as possible is one way that you can starve the beast, if you will.
Yes.
And give them non-compliance. You're putting your nose up to them. You're saying, I don't like the smell of this.
Yeah. There's a lot of power in just saying no. Like, I'm not going to do that. You know, like the vaccine mandates that were... tried to push that.
That was a choice.
But as soon as they started pushing it, you know, South Carolina was a good example. Florida's another one. You know, I say this all the time, when I was at the fire department up in Lancaster County, they sent out a little questionnaire saying, if the vaccine was mandated by the county, would you take it? And I think it was something like 95% of the firefighters there said no. We'd walk off the job. We'd give it up. And that was the last we ever heard of it. And, you know, so that's all it takes, is just people to say no.
Yeah.
And be willing to live with the consequences that come with that.
Yeah. You saw Henry McMaster kind of fiddle around, and he wanted the counties to do the lockdown and close businesses and all. And as the political wind, because Henry's one of those ones that licks his finger, and when that political will, when the people were raising enough hell, he said, man, and then DeSantis did what he did. That's when Henry felt safe enough.
Yeah, I think Florida was the first one.
Yeah.
Not
that I'm endorsing Rick's, whatever his name is.
Ronald.
What's his name?
DeSantis.
DeSantis, that's him. The little short fellow that wears lifts.
The problem that we're seeing now, man, is that the pendulum swung so far to the left, it's coming back to the right.
Yeah.
So now DeSantis is signing bills like saying it's illegal to film the police within 25 feet.
He's done some weird things of late.
These book bans, you know, which I'm not a fan of banning any book at all.
Yeah.
I think if a book is offensive,
it's in a public school.
Right. Well, what else?
What do we advocate?
Yeah.
Abolition of state indoctrination.
Yeah, I would say your so-called history books are offensive to me.
He won't come out and say that, will he? Won't come out and say abolish public education.
No way.
I'm pushing do away with public education.
It's just this this rising tide of right wing. It's not far right wing. People, you know, who are, Donald Trump's going to win the election. He's going to get the most votes. And the more that they try to persecute him and prosecute him, the more people are going to vote for him, you know, just out of spite.
You think that's manufactured?
Of course it is. Of course. We don't have elections in this country. It's elections.
Right, right.
The last election we had was probably John Kennedy.
And I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they were saying maybe Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, both of those may be right, but I submit that do not let that be the limit. Think about all the way back to George Washington.
George Washington was selected.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And but John Kennedy was the first one that said, hey, this is fucked up. What we're doing is wrong, and we need to stop what we're doing. And then that day that he was shot, that was a coup. That the United States government, as we knew it, was overthrown.
Yeah.
And that's when the deep state, or the shadow government, or whoever you want to call them, took over, and we started
took the last bastion
perpetual
of power out. Yeah, I could
and
see.
And they saw Bobby was a threat, so they killed him. Now Bobby Jr. is a threat, and they're withholding his Secret Service, you know, detail.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. But it's a clown show.
It's
amazing to watch as the herd is driven one way or the other. Yeah. Now that you can see it,
yeah.
You know, before when you didn't know what, I remember when I first started waking up, if you want to call it that, and I was jumping in with the Nikki Haley, Mick Mulvaney, yeah. Tea Party, yada yakety smackety. Mm-hmm. I was naive and ignorant to, and I was living the fairy tale that I had been taught my entire life.
Yeah.
That, you know, politics, that's where you make the changes and all, and the proper way to do it, and respect to the honorable representative of, yeah. You know, and all this kind of horse shit.
Yeah. I feel like, once your eyes are open,
yeah,
you can't close them again. And, is it off?
We're good.
Oh, okay. Once your eyes are open, you can't close them again. Once you know certain things, you can't unknow them. You could choose to ignore them, sure, but it'll eat you, man. And just the same way that knowing eats you up, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah. You hear a lot of people say, I wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't, find out about this. Kimberly was talking about that today, that she said, I got to take a break from it every now and then because it'll drive you crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You need to take a break, and you need to play with the chickens or watch Jeffrey play with the chickens. Go up to the river and look at the eagles and sure. all that kind of uh-huh. stuff, you yeah. know. And come and have dinner with your friends and all that, but you still, after you know, you tend to always want to know a little bit more, and it can drive you crazy. Just like this guy in front of the Trump trial,
yeah.
who lit himself on fire.
That's horrible, man.
But you can kind of understand it, though. Somebody was asking me about it, and I said, look. A lot of what he's saying is actual truth. That's what I've found.
Yeah.
That's what you've found. A lot of about the corporation and the plantation, if you will, and the Rockefellers and
sure.
The whole nine yards. And I was saying that sometimes you feel like you're yelling into a tornado and nobody can hear you.
Right, and then you sprinkle in a little mental illness into that, and then you got people lighting themselves on
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's kind of like what she was saying, it drives you crazy. Well,
yeah.
He'd been at it as long as me, 15 yeah. years or so, you know, and been an activist and telling the story and seeing, but I guess he got the idea from Aaron Bruchel, who did that, burn himself up
yeah.
For Palestine.
Yeah.
And now you see me talking about him, and you talk about Max. So there is some sort of effect to it. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't my cup of tea.
No.
You know.
No.
And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have no suicidal tendencies.
No.
Like the Boeing guy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that don't matter anymore. But
but I yeah, see. That,
to me, it was, it's a desperate man making a desperate measure, and he was probably a little mentally ill to begin with, and it's just all around sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you look at how many people that's going to affect. I'm likening it to a ripple in the matrix.
Yeah.
So whatever effect that's going to have, we don't have any idea, because the ripples in the pond hit all the pond, and a lot of the pond you don't see.
Yeah.
So good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
And I see this on the other side being used as, and the police came out with a little thing right after that and all, and talked about the pamphlets that he was throwing out, or were propaganda and conspiracy theorist
right
rants or whatever. Yeah.
So what this does ultimately is gonna make us all look like we're mentally ill.
It could.
And
it could.
And it's gonna bring people who were on the fence who would have listened, they're gonna be like, well, I'm not one of those crazy people that's gonna light themselves on fire, so I don't wanna be around these type of people.
Yeah, you know? There's gonna be some of that, and then there's gonna be other people that say, you know what, he's right. I wouldn't have burnt myself up, but I can understand what he's trying to what he was trying to do. I understand his motivation.
Well, let's but, you know, for me, this brought out like a mean-spirited nature in me. You know, where I was like, I was mad. Why don't you see what you're participating in? Mm. Why aren't you seeing this? And I chose some tactics that were, you know, mean-spirited, I would say, and uncharacteristic.
Well, we had talked about that before.
Yeah.
That you were approaching it in righteous anger, but anger nonetheless.
Right. And, you know, that then I really had to, you know what did it for me was, I made a mean comment on Facebook about a sheriff's department employee that as soon as I hit send and I looked at what I said,
you regretted it.
I was like, what in the hell is wrong with you, man? You let these people get to you so much that you're making these mean comments about a nice young lady who never did anything to you.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And I was ashamed of myself. Yeah. I really was, and I tried to reach out to apologize to her. I tried to use other channels to apologize. I apologized publicly on Facebook, and still today, I still regret it. I still feel regret.
You still, otherwise you wouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a guy today that that was on a video and said something about shame on you, county council or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, did it come through that I was angry and all? I said, yes, but it was righteous anger.
Yeah.
And righteous anger is a good thing at the proper time.
To use your way, like you say, it's a fire. You can use it to cook or you can burn yourself with it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be careful with how much of yourself you're willing to give to these people that you disagree with. And that's really what it is that I gave too much. I went too far. I let my emotions get the best of me sometimes. And that's uncharacteristic of me, and it wasn't the right tactic to use. Maybe with, let's say, like with Julian Burns, that tactic, you know, could have worked because he has a big ego and all that. But there are other people that it hurts the message.
Yeah.
You know, much like this guy lighting himself on fire. It hurts the message ultimately. For some people, like you said, they might be like, damn, that guy believed this enough to light himself on fire. Maybe there's something to what he's saying. Other people are going to say, that guy's just flat out batshit crazy, mm-hmm. and I don't want to have anything to do with anything, whatever he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I think what you said, he was a self-proclaimed anarcho-communist.
Yeah, an anarcho-communist.
Which you and I agree, those two terms, anarchism and communism, are kind of, to us, they're diametrically opposed.
Yeah, they
right.
Yeah,
but to other people, they feel like they can be a communist, live in a communal lifestyle without government telling them they have to be a communist.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Which I guess that makes sense.
Without a state,
a socialist state, right?
Yeah, and everybody owns everything. And, yeah,
but any thinking
kind of
person knows. You cannot have communism. Ultimately, fails every time it's been tried, because people aren't pulling, they either don't pull their weight, or they take advantage of other people, or the government comes and says, we will do this, mm-hmm. or you're going to be thrown mm-hmm. in the gulag, right? Mm-hmm. And because some people are like, I don't want to live this way. Yeah. Well, too bad. To the gulag,
yeah,
right?
And it doesn't matter whether it's communism, socialism, republicanism, any of those. It's the force that is necessary for your utopian visions.
Right.
To work, that is the problem, because just like the old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you vest this power in this fictional being called the state, no matter how you get to it, and then the state inherently, genetically, will break every chain that you put on the damn thing.
It has to, yeah, because it's, I mean, I heard Tucker Carlson was on Joe Rogan's podcast saying that there's 12 million public government employees and contractors.
Mm-hmm.
12
mm-hmm.
million. We have 300-some documented people in this country, right? 325 million documented people in this country.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And out of that, 12 million of them work for the government in some way, shape, or form. Federal government.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about the state government.
With their contractors.
Yeah, contractors, like contractors or actual employees.
And that doesn't include the second and thirds.
No, subcontractors. Then you got subcontractors.
Yeah.
It's a hungry beast that will eat and devour everything in its path until it is the biggest apex predator.
It is anti-human.
Yeah.
Despite the songs and the, I know it tugs on your heart when the airplanes fly over and fat lady sings,
mm-hmm.
but it will kill you, and it's going to kill you.
It's the number one pound for pound heavyweight champion killer of human beings on this planet is government. It's the original school shooter, the original mass shooting, the killers. That every horrible thing we see, the government's probably done it first, and they've done it better, you know.
It's the original.
I think didn't we just have the anniversary of Kent State not too long ago?
It wasn't too long ago.
And the original school shooting. And
yeah.
That was the National Guard, you know.
Yeah. And now you got them passing all this rules and laws that say it's okay to damn spy on the slaves of Slavelandia.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Yep. You got it, babe.
Right. Oh, man. So what's the answer, Jeff?
Well, kind of like you said, the battle is for the 6 inches in between your ears.
Yep.
And the only way that you can do anything is to say no.
Yeah. And you don't have to say it out loud.
No.
Either. You just live your life the way you want to live. Don't hurt anybody. Don't steal their shit. You know,
and when the opportunity comes to actually stand up and a whole group of people decide that they're not going to pay property tax anymore, join them.
Yeah. And I would say love your neighbor. Love your neighbor like you love yourself.
We're all on the big blue marble. That's what I keep telling them. We all got to live on this big blue marble.
In the Army, we say it's a great big shit sandwich, and we all got to take a bite.
Ain't that the truth?
But, you know, last thing I want to say, this is the last video we're going to make together, and I really wish everybody well, even the people I was fighting against and arguing with, County Council, Lee Bone, everybody. I wish them all the best, and I know you're trying to everybody's just doing what they feel is right.
Yeah.
I would say just open your minds and really look at it, try to look at it from other people's perspectives. People on our side, we need to do the same thing. Look at it from their perspective, mm-hmm. and see, you know, realize we used to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be them, you know. There was a, I almost became a cop when I got out of the Army, you know. And, you know, so we're not that far apart. I think social media, the mainstream television media, television programming, it's all designed to divide us and get us to fight against each other. And we really need to avoid that at all costs. We don't have you know, community anymore. It's all on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're entering the digital world.
And, you know, I'm backing out of it. I'm checking out of that digital community. I'm going back to a real community.
Yeah.
You know, game nights and beer league softball and being closer to family and not isolating myself. And I'm excited about our future. I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
I'm sad to leave some folks here, like some good friends. I'm really, you know, and
sad to say goodbye, but it ain't goodbye. So no, how about
we'll see you later. We'll see you later.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
What do you say,
man? Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Little girl, you gonna have fun out there in Missouri.
Minnesota.
Michigan. One of those in
Montana, maybe.
All right, boys. All right. We got a party tonight.
That's right.
So we'll, till next time, peace.
When the order is given to censor your mind, as free speech is forbidden, as martyrs for peace from the world will be driven away by the sound.